Today's program was brought to you by Bonnie Plants, bonnieplants.com.
I'm Linda Palacio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, where we introduce you to all the things that we're obsessed with that we just want to talk about and be enthusiastic about. This podcast is inspired by our newsletter that is called 10 Things, and you can sign up for it at ofakind.com, where you can also discover the products and the stories of emerging fashion designers and home designers.
There is a lot happening.
There's so much happening. Get your butt over to ofakind.com. Get to know us, get to know what we do, sign up for the newsletter.
Exactly. Yeah. And speaking of getting to know us, now is really your chance because today we're going to talk for 30 minutes without a special guest.
No guests, we're on our own.
Yeah. But I think we've got it.
I hope you guys like it. We've done this one other time. It went okay.
Yeah, I think
we've got Bloody Marys, so that should, it's going to be us plus alcohol.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a Bloody Mary?
Yeah. So I'm Claire.
I'm Erica.
We're business partners and friends.
Both
co-hosts. Okay, let's talk about something. What should we start with?
Maybe travel.
Okay, let's talk about traveling. It's the summer. I hope that you guys are taking time to travel. Working in the summer is really hard. That's why we all take vacations during it.
Exactly.
Because the heat makes everybody crazy.
And being small business owners, we don't really have the luxury of summer Fridays so much, but we do try to get away and take advantage as much as we possibly can.
Question, does anybody outside of New York do summer Fridays?
No, it's such a New York thing, and it's, and when people find out about it, they're like kind of grossed out
because it is a fake holiday based on Hampton's traffic.
100%.
Okay.
Where basically people get either the full day off or half day off from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Yes, on Fridays.
On Fridays, yes.
So that you can leave early and miss the traffic jams out to the Hamptons, basically.
More or less, yeah. Off. Well, and my husband, actually, when he was working, he's in grad school now, but when he had an office job, he was allowed to take his summer Friday on a different day. So he would take his summer Fridays on Wednesdays. So that he could go sailing in New Jersey.
I forgot about
that. So he would leave work at like 3 p.m. or 2 p.m. on Wednesdays. Yeah, it's a very specific cultural thing.
I remember when Thomas used to go sailing on Wednesdays because that was the same summer that Thomas had the bright idea that he should sign you guys up for a CSA.
Yep, on Wednesdays. It was the same day. And so it was,
Thomas was like, babe, I signed us up for a CSA. And by the way, I'm going to be in New Jersey every day, every time it comes. So,
it's your sole responsibility to pick up the CSA. Yeah. I remember there being issues for times. Where, and this was like during the stressful beginnings of our business, where I remember there being times where you were like, you don't need the parsnips this week, like just let them go.
It was like trying to plan a meeting and Eric would be like, but I can't because I gotta pick up the CSA, and he'd be like, okay, skip the beets this week.
No, it was hard decisions to make for
hashtag
sure.
Hashtag marriage.
Okay, so travel. Where do we go when we're trying to decide where to go?
Yes, where do we go? What websites do we take ourselves to?
Fathom is one of our very favorites, fathomaway.com.
It's like a travel publication on the internet, but for people like us, which I always go to them. They have, for being a pretty young site, they have a pretty amazingly comprehensive array of travel recommendations.
Well, and they also do a good job of hitting the destinations that we are somehow interested in. They really get it. It's founded by two former Daily Candy editors, and they have the right voice and the tone, and you know, they know that they should have a really deep archive of Tulum coverage people coming to their site care about that.
And it's a lot of personal recommendations from their network of people who are all sort of trustworthy. And I like it too, because it has I feel like price wise, it feels right. Like a lot of travel sites you go to, you're like, this is a beautiful hotel that I will never be able to afford. And
just like full blown luxury everywhere, where everything starts at $800 a night.
Exactly. And Fathom has been able to sort of like offer a wide array of things. For me, they took the place of RIP Jet Setter.
Totally.
Or no, Jauntsetter.
Jauntsetter
is something owned by Gilt Group.
Yes.
Jauntsetter was like another awesome travel website for people in our demographic that I think maybe the archives are still online, but yeah, there's just not that much. And Fathom's a good
another one. If you're interested in holding a magazine in your hands, is Afar.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful and also does a good job of understanding that, you know, people of, I think, our generation or our demographic are interested in more in discovery than just full blown, you know, how thick are the towels and how nice are the sheets.
Totally. They do a lot more like long form stuff. They get into the culture of places. They do more.
They do this amazing spin the globe feature where they spin the globe literally and like put a finger down and they send someone to whatever destination that is with, I think, 48 hours notice, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then that person writes a personal essay about it. Their creative director is really brilliant. Elizabeth, yes. Spiridakis Olson. And it's just
AKA
beautiful.
AKA White Lightning.
It's a beautiful publication. And actually their app is awesome.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you happen to be just wandering around any random city, you can use their app and it'll pull up things nearby that people have written reviews about, which is just nice to have.
The other app that I swear by for when you're actually on the trip is Wallpaper. They are really,
totally.
They have a great app and they really highly curated, and they're not in every city, but, when I was on my honeymoon in Tokyo, they were great.
Same when I was in Porto in Portugal. Yeah. They're a couple really of bucks, but they're really worth it.
Yeah. So once you've decided where you're going,
yep.
and you have to find the place to stay.
Yes.
So one thing that I learned about myself as I got older is I would rather just not take a vacation or go somewhere sort of close by than stay somewhere crappy.
Yeah.
Like I just, for me, such a big part of going on vacation and the pleasure of going somewhere is like staying somewhere really nice and like that is pretty and
something that like inspires good feelings in you.
Like not a hostel basically. I guess my hostel days are over.
Yeah. Yeah. You're past a shared bathroom.
I'm way past a shared bathroom. And so I'm just at the point now where I'd like rather either take fewer vacations or like, for example, over President's Day, I was like, I wanted to go somewhere warm, but I couldn't afford anything. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go upstate, but stay at this awesome place called Hillside Schoolhouse because it is beautiful and I'm going to enjoy being there.
The other places we love upstate while we're here, Table on 10.
Table on 10 is same deal. So amazing. Beautiful Airbnb with the most incredible food and pizza you've ever had. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but you don't need to go anywhere because it's beautiful there.
I actually was just last weekend in Phoenicia, New York and stayed at Graham & Co., which I have had a great experience at summer and winter. And it's just very easy and low key and there's a pool and you really don't have to do anything. You could actually just go and hang out at the pool and use their bikes and it's super chill.
Yeah. I think that there's, you know, this is like a tick of my own where I just like, I like to be in pretty surroundings and not everybody else feels the same way, but like, I like my hotel to be nice. So my sort of go-tos when I'm looking for this sort of stuff, I always go to Tablet Hotels, designhotels.com.
Which has like a network of design hotels that they support and work with. Same
both
with Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. Design Hotels, Tablet Hotels, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith are all like networks of pretty
like hotels, pre-approved basically. Seal of approval hotels.
Exactly. Design Tripper is amazing.
I love
blog.
Design Tripper. Yeah. This woman basically finds just sort of the coolest places around the world. And these range from hotels to, you know, apartment rentals to Airbnbs. And they're just really like, they're very unique and special places. And I think she just likes things that are aesthetically appealing, but it's not like all the places are super modern or all of the places have a very specific aesthetic. Mm-hmm. They're just all really intriguing in one way or another.
Totally. And then, you know, there's a number of One Fine Stay, which I've never used, is like Airbnb, but for fancier places. And it's like just a little higher end. I've never used it, but they have gorgeous spaces. Kid & Co. is very similar, but it's specific to places that are good to take kids, which I think is genius.
Completely. And beyond Airbnb, which, you know, everybody looks to, VRBO is actually pretty great, especially for specific kinds of destinations. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to rent a house, not an apartment.
Yep.
So we're planning a vacation, or I was planning a trip to Hill Country in Texas for a wedding next year. Yep. And there's not a lot on Airbnb at all.
Yeah. VRBO is better for Texas. We found that when going to Austin too.
Yeah. So I think there's this very location specific kind of thing, but if you want to rent a house, that's the place to do it.
The other one is HomeAway.
Yep.
HomeAway.com is an Airbnb and VRBO competitor that does the same sort of thing. So just cross-reference all of them.
Yeah, exactly. It's about going to all of them. I also search my RSS feed.
Because a lot of times the design sites will like call call out cool Airbnbs.
Exactly. So I will search when I know I'm going somewhere. I will search my RSS feed for that location and just make sure that I have all of the appropriate sort of travel sites in there so that I'm surfacing any content that might speak to that.
Smart. Yeah. Very smart.
All right, so the actual act of traveling.
Oh my God, it's so stressful for me. My husband always calls it out like a week in advance of us getting on a flight where he's like notices how stressed I get. And he's like, okay, you're doing this. Like, just so you know, you're doing this like pre-travel anxiety thing now. Because I will email him like 2 weeks in advance of us going to Mexico and being like, do you have your passport? And he's like, do we actually get on a plane for another 2 weeks?
Well, and then Claire will do this thing with packing where she'll basically pull out like everything in her closet and be like, I need to take this, like all of it.
All of it. I'm a terrible packer. The worst feeling for me is being somewhere that is not your home and feeling like you want to wear something and it's not available to you. It's like you own it, but it's in your closet 3,000 miles away. And that is so frustrating. It's like, and it would be perfect to wear right now because surprise, as someone who runs a design site, I like derive a lot of happiness from what I'm wearing. And so it really,
I've really tried to encourage this idea that if you don't wear it at home, you're not going to wear it there.
But which seems so crazy to me because sometimes when you travel, you're like, I'm in Spain now and I feel totally different than I do when
I'm
in New York.
But you're not a different person.
You know.
And sometimes the reason you don't wear things is because you just like don't feel good in them.
Good in them. Yeah. I know. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that's happened to me is that I got this business partner, Erica, who's sitting next to me, and she and I traveled together a lot. And she, when like we first started having to take business trips, was like, I'm not waiting with you at the baggage claim for your checked bag. And at that, and I was like, oh, I guess I have to start packing only carry-ons. So I've downsized considerably.
Totally.
Since meeting Erica. Well, not since starting a business with Erica.
Totally. And Claire does a great job with this. She only carries on sometimes. She really pushes the limits of like what it means to carry on.
Well, sometimes what happens is I do a lot of shopping wherever we go. And by sometimes I mean often. And so by the time I'm coming back, doing the carry on thing is hard.
A picture that we need to post associated with this episode is a picture of Claire in the bathroom. Was it in Austin or LA?
No, it was LA. It was LAX. And I was really pushing the limits. And the TSA guy was like, no,
absolutely
you need to figure
not.
Out what to do.
She went into the bathroom and put basically all of her clothes on. Like it was, she had like seven layers.
If that Friends episode where Chandler puts on like all of the clothes, or maybe it was Joey, I can't remember. But I put on a couple extra layers and tied some shirts around my waist just to be able to get through the security line.
It was a lot.
Yeah. It would, but listen, it worked.
It did work.
And then now they're trying to downsize carry-ons and it's a disaster.
A total disaster.
So let's talk about related getting through security, which is also always a disaster. My new thing, you know, Erica has forced me to become a carry-on only person, and so I have tried my best to force her into becoming a global entry person.
I need to do this. It's for me, it's just like the money and the whole, I know, I need to do it. And the process.
Amex will cover it if you have an Amex.
Oh, yes. I did not know this.
So global entry, it's two things. One, you always get TSA pre-check, so you don't have to take your shoes off and take your computer out. I hate taking my computer out because my bag
that's
is
the most annoying part.
I hate that. But then you also, when you're coming home from a foreign country, you just zip through customs because you basically just go to this little electronic kiosk and it is awesome, but you've got to get your fellow travelers on board because otherwise they drag you back.
I'll do this for you.
Yeah, you'll do it. My husband did it for me. When I got it, I was like basically sat down Chris and Eric and I was like, you are the people that I travel with. You're going to need to get on board with this. So Chris did it. Eric is still lagging. I think all of you listening now, if you travel, it is worth it.
The Amex thing is a good tip. I did not know this. I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. You are just in general have strong feelings about how to comport yourself going through TSA.
Yeah. Well, I think I have a carry-on bag that, you know, it's my shoulder bag that is like my personal item, I guess is what TSA calls it, right?
Yes.
That is a Lowe and Sons commuter bag kind of situation, and I know where every single thing goes in it. Like everything has a spot, so when I'm digging through it, I know exactly where my laptop's not a hard thing to find, but I put that plastic bag of my 3 ounce bottles right on top so I can always access it. I know where my boarding pass goes. I know where, you know, I keep chargers in it. I keep way too many Ziploc bags in it because who knows
what'll
explode.
You always have to take an extra Ziploc bag, an extra canvas bag. Like, these are travel just
exactly.
like musts.
Exactly.
A canvas bag, Ziploc bag, these are things
I have a couple pieces of hard candy in there just to have. I have Excedrin in there. They're just things Band-Aids. That I never take out of this bag because why would I? I have Clorox wipes.
That's great.
These are just things that I think are essential sort of go-tos. The other thing that I always travel with is an extra pair of socks.
I always have socks in my carry-on because it gets so cold.
So cold on planes. And these packets of coconut oil that are genius. We both use coconut oil for a lot of things, and traveling with it can be kind of a mess.
Yes.
If a bottle breaks or isn't the top isn't twisted on tight enough, there can be a real disaster zone.
Yes.
So these little packets are great. They are by a company called Kelopo. We will link to them in our wrap-up. What else do you bring?
Well, so
you're a big scarf person.
I always bring a scarf because it doubles as a pillow on the when you're in the.
I've been trying to do that more too.
Yeah, when you're on the airplane, Eric and I also always do this thing that looks so ridiculous, but to sleep on planes, we both put the tray table down and then you lean over the tray table.
Yep.
It will give you a real headache by the time you wake up, but you'll have slept.
Obviously.
I am obsessed with Muji sells these zip bags. They call them like gusset bags, but they basically are like so you can organize the interior of your suitcase. So you have one for your gym clothes and one for your real clothes and some for your underwear. And I think
they're especially key for a beach vacation where you're getting sand on things or sunscreen on things and just want to keep things a little bit contained.
Well, and if you don't have those, I think bathing, you should always put your bathing suits, your socks, and your underwear in separate shoe bags.
Like,
I never throw away shoe bags because they're so good for organizing.
I have a box in my closet.
So those are, I think, are really key for traveling. Also, like, you can put all your hair product, your like curling iron or whatever in that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the process, obviously, of going through security is painful no matter what.
Yeah.
Even with global entry, sometimes there are holdups and whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But our sort of relief from this is the TSA's Instagram.
Oh, my God. It's
amazing. Guys, it is so good.
It is amazing.
You would not believe how good the TSA's Instagram is.
If you are not following, get on it.
It's
a once alarmist, self-congratulatory, educational. It's incredible. It's like they actually just, it's mostly pictures of stuff they've discarded. They've contraband basically that people
have
tried to get through.
Yeah.
And it is hysterical. So like, people do stupid stuff like take like not even,
like things, ninja stars,
but also then like water balloons shaped like grenades or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not really what they are, but they're like toys shaped like grenades. And the TSA is here to let you know, like, can you believe somebody tried to get away with this? Don't you try to get away with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. They also profile the various dogs that are on the TSA team.
Amazing.
It's amazing. So
they and listen, I don't want to make, I am very grateful for the work of the TSA. They do great work and they should pat themselves on the back via social media every once in a while. So you should be there to see it and double tap.
All right, go follow them. And in the meantime, we're going to go to commercial. Be right back.
BRB.
Could an app be the answer to a better garden? Absolutely. It's the new free app, Homegrown with Bonnie Plants. Note, track, and photograph your garden's progress. Personalize your weather and reminders. Get variety info, grow guides, hands-free dictation, and more. The Homegrown with Bonnie Plants app, the sharpest tool in your garden. Download it free on the App Store.
Hey, welcome back to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, where we are still working on our intro and outro skills. So next topic, drinking. We apologies to my mom, who would really disapprove of this behavior, but we have a drink every time we do this radio show, mostly because this radio show is recorded at 1 p.m. on Wednesdays, which is smack dab in the middle of the week, and trying to remove yourself from the stress of that midweek point And get into a more relaxed headspace is much easier with a glass of wine.
Oh my God, totally. We all, I mean, you know, we take the subway out to Roberta's, which is a lovely, lovely space and setting.
Yeah.
And we have this, we both sort of sit silent on the last 10 minutes of our train ride, trying to wrap our heads around our to-do lists.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so to really gear up and be even moderately engaging,
yeah,
need help.
And like relax. And this week has been one of those weeks where everything is so awesome and so stressful.
It's been a week.
It's been such a crazy week because in addition to this radio show, we have a small business that we run and it is, you know, it's a lot of work. And so we are very grateful for alcohol to relax us a little bit. And we want to talk a little bit about that topic today.
Yep. So maybe we should start by talking about the sort of work obligation. You know, we have a lot of work obligations, yeah, that involve having a drink. And while sometimes that's like really lovely and nice, mm-hmm, sometimes you kind of just want to not have to have a drink.
This is this thing that's like specific to, I think, startup world and the fashion industry in New York.
Media, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it's everybody's like, let's go grab a drink, which,
yeah,
is a great way to like, you know, I'd rather have a meeting over a drink than in a conference room for the most part.
For sure.
But you do end up in this situation where you're constantly finding yourself feeling obligated to have a glass of wine. And so after, you know, so many months of doing that, you're like, I'd rather not be like buzzed at 7 p.m. always.
Yeah. Well, and you want to be able to, you feel like you're making the choice yourself as, mm-hmm, opposed to it being something that's scheduled for you and,
exactly,
that is an obligation basically,
yes,
in the end. And so while, you know, sometimes it's totally fine to just be like, I'm not going to have one.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier not to have the conversation. So what do
totally.
We do?
I have been really into a white wine spritzer.
Totally.
Which is, you know, it's a choice because,
yeah,
you will get side eye with a white wine spritzer. Somebody was buying a round of drinks the other day when I was like out with a bunch of friends and was asking everybody what they wanted. And I said, I'll have a white wine spritzer. And he looked at me and was like, you know, I think that's actually the thing you have to go order yourself. Like, I'm not on your behalf asking for a white wine spritzer. And I understood. Listen, I picked this up on a vacation to Maine where there were a lot of like, you know, middle-aged waspy white women ordering white wine spritzers, and
you were like, I can get on board with
it. I was like, I'm on board. And when I came back to New York and I was still like in my late 20s, early 30s, you know, millennial,
well,
people were like, what are you doing?
Shame this though.
I think de-shame,
yeah,
it. I think it's great because it just slows down your intake. A white wine spritzer is basically white wine, usually
and
Chardonnay,
yeah,
and seltzer and some lemon. I've seen it made with Sprite before, which is disgusting.
Yeah. It's like the red wine and Coke thing though, that is,
yeah,
really hard to wrap your head around, I think, unless you're a super fan.
Totally. And you know, it just slows it down a little bit. It's delightful. It's refreshing. You know, you're never gonna have a white wine spritzer hangover.
Nope. You're gonna be super hydrated the whole time.
So let's bring this back. Let's make it chic. Everybody go out, try it tonight.
Yeah. Maybe it needs a name because I think that sometimes, like, white wine spritzer is not
okay.
great.
We'll work on this.
So I think that might help. When I was in college, when I didn't want to drink, I would order seltzer with maraschino cherries. Mm-hmm. And my friend Andy dubbed it the Virgin Cherry.
Which is a great name.
Great name. And I think that,
yeah,
helped.
Yes.
I think that makes it a lot more marketable.
It's a Virgin Cherry. It's a conversation starter, too.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, yeah. I had also had a friend who, you know, made up names of shots and would try to order them at bars. So then you can try to make it like, you're like, oh,
right,
just have a Virgin Cherry.
Right.
And then when somebody gives you side eye, you're, yeah, like, oh, you don't know.
God, how long have you been a bartender?
And
no
then
one taught you how to make that?
Then you throw, yeah, the shame right back at them.
That's actually the best strategy possible.
Yeah.
So in January, Chris and I decided that we weren't going to drink for a month. A lot of people do this.
Yep.
It's like dry January. And
well, after the holidays,
exactly,
it just feels so gross,
yeah,
after all the holiday consumption.
Exactly. And it feels like a nice way to start the year. And for me, I've had migraines for a really long time, but they've been getting really bad in the last couple of years. And so I was like, maybe, you know, if I don't drink for a month, I'll realize how much alcohol triggers it. And for better and for worse, I still got migraines when I wasn't drinking,
yeah,
which in the end is good because, yay, I get to still drink. But the thing that we did a lot of was ordering seltzer with bitters, which is still slightly alcoholic because bitters have a little bit of alcohol
like
in it.
Ever so slightly.
And it looks like an alcoholic beverage,
yeah,
so you don't get the questions. It also just tastes a little different and,
yeah,
in that way where you feel like you're having a treat.
Yeah, totally.
Which is a really nice thing. And so I think that the key, if anyone's trying to like detox and do a thing where they don't drink for a month, I would say get on board with an at-home seltzer device like a SodaStream or any of its competitors, because that was really key for us.
Kombucha was allowed on your dry January.
Kombucha, which
right?
also has trace amounts of alcohol, was
huge
for me.
You can get carded for kombucha sometimes.
Sometimes.
Depending on the joint that's selling it.
One time we sent out an intern to get us kombuchas and she got carded, and it was, because there's trace amounts of alcohol in these things. But I think carbonated things with a little bit of flavor can really help with the detox situation.
The other thing that if you want like a light drink mm-hmm. that is a little bit less embarrassing is the beer cocktail.
Yes, totally.
Like, micheladas.
Love a michelada.
Huge
totally
michelada
love
fans.
A michelada. Yeah. And Shandy's, which is like, it's like
which beer. Is sparkling lemonade and beer.
Yeah, which I'm
I
not
think
that
kind of delicious.
Yeah, you like sweeter things than I do. I can't get on board with those. In fact, in my notes here, I wrote Shandy's and then in parentheses, gross.
I tend to disagree, but you know, to each
we can't agree on everything. In fact, I would say Eric and I agree on like a lot of things, most things, which is really helpful when you're business partners, but we do not really like the same alcohol. Like when it comes to white wine, you really like things that are like more citrusy.
Round,
and I just like an oaky dry thing. I don't really have the words to describe it, but we differ.
What do you drink at home?
Sherry
when you're
lot.
Making the choice yourself, where there's no pressure to have a drink.
I love sherry. We always have a bottle of Tio Pepe sherry in my fridge. And this is, again, I think like an old lady drink, but I just think it's so delicious.
Oh,
I love
I'm
it really
totally
dry.
On board with sherry. I also love port, which is equally old person.
Port is, again, too sweet for me, but sherry I really like. I really like sake for similar reasons. That's super like dry, crisp. And both sherry and sake just get me mellow in a way that feels like not so harsh.
Yeah, I agree about sherry.
Yeah, it's just like
that's about sake for sure.
It's just a nicer buzz for me. I also just really like tequila. Some alcohol just makes me so tired and I'm just done, and tequila it's just a nice little upper. I've been onto tequila for a while, but we had a model come work for us, you know, do a shoot with us recently, and she looked like, I don't know, 22. And she revealed at some point that she was 38. And we were all like, shut the front door. What? Like, what is your secret? What are you
Whenever
doing?
Anyone looks younger, especially in shape, Claire always asks, what is your secret?
Oh, I will quiz. I mean, most models that pass through the doors of a kind for a shoot are quizzed on their workout routine, on their eating like habits, all of it. Because I want to know. It's good intel.
Yeah.
These people are paid to look good.
Yeah.
So this one in particular, like the age thing just blew my mind. She was so young. Or looked so young, but was 38. And she also, in addition to her modeling career, happened to be a bottle girl. And she had learned, basically, that straight tequila with fresh lime juice and ice, basically, it is a drink that will not screw up your skin and that will keep you young. And she was basically like, there's the agave and tequila and it's really good for your skin and this is my secret. And I have to imagine there were genes at play too.
I think that was a significant component, but nonetheless.
But I was like, okay, I buy it from now on. Straight tequila and listen, I'm a sucker. Like for any of this stuff, I'm a total sucker. I, you know, read it on the internet, I buy it. But I don't know. You know, if you want to look like a model, tequila and lime juice.
Yeah.
Do it.
You guys don't make cocktails at home.
No, I'm too lazy. Chris sometimes will, but that is like too much for me to start mixing things.
We've been making cocktails at home. I mean, mostly only just a 2 or 3 ingredient cocktail, really. A Negroni is a great one because it's equal parts of gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth.
I like Campari. Do you have a shaker?
Yeah. Just like a tiny baby one. It's almost like a mini travel shaker situation.
And then you stick it in the dishwasher?
Yeah, easy.
Wow.
Yeah. And so because it's equal parts, you can be loose about it. And that orange peel just looks really chic and fancy.
Oh, so not only now you're getting an orange peel involved. God.
Well, Thomas gets into the orange peel situation.
This is a lot.
It is a lot. But then if you have the gin for that, then you can also do gin and tonics.
I'm okay with the gin and tonic.
And buy the tiny little bottles of tonic because they don't go flat. That's a key thing.
Yeah.
The other thing we've been making a little bit for summer, which I think is a good party drink, is a dark and stormy. Because it is just ginger beer and Gosling's Black Seal rum and lime. So this is a minimal investment. And kids and adults who don't drink can drink the ginger beer with lime in it and still feel like they're getting something kind of special.
Which is
and
so
like
the, key yeah. when you're a kid. And that's why, I mean, surely the Shirley Temple industry thrives on this.
That's exactly right. And my dad doesn't drink. And so he loves to have, you know, a fruit soda on a menu or a ginger beer on a menu or something that feels a little special instead of just, you know, a fountain drink, basically.
Right. That's nice.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the only thing that we really make at home that require in terms of beverages, that requires more than one ingredient is micheladas, which is the way we do it is Worcestershire sauce, two types of hot sauce usually. So it'll be like Cholula and Tabasco just to mix it. I don't know why we do that. And what else? Lime juice and then beer.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just love salt. So I love a salty drink.
Same.
I got a little burnt out on these after Hurricane Sandy because Chris and I were on a real kick and we were stuck indoors for a week and we just drank so many micheladas. And so that, but
anything in that quantity becomes a little gross.
Right. You start.
Even a shandy.
Even a shandy, if you didn't think a shandy was gross to begin with. So yeah, I like a beer cocktail, but in general, because of my headaches, like most cocktails give me headaches because
of
the sugar.
With sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you drink out of? We both have the Rydell stemless wine
glasses. Love the Rydell stemless wine glasses. I love like really thin glass, which is, I think by its very nature is a luxury item because it will break after five uses. So that, that's my go-to is the Rydell stemless glass. And believe me, when I was tricking myself into not drinking for a month, everything that I drank, like down to just straight water, came out of that Rydell wine glass.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Not surprised. We have not such a thin glass, not a very breakable product. These little mini, they're like Spanish juice glasses, that I also love. They're by a company, Bormioli.
Oh, I love Bormioli. Yeah. I didn't know they were by Bormioli makes great drinking glasses. Because our water glasses are from there.
Well, these suckers are $2 a pop.
Yeah. They're all, it's
and
like.
And they're just great. They're great for cocktails. Mm-hmm. They're great for juice or iced tea or wine. They're just really nice to have around. Stack well.
Weirdly, Bed Bath & Beyond has like the most, widest array of Bormioli drinking glasses that I've ever found.
I need to do a full search there.
Yeah. They have a good selection.
They make a cute little housewarming present too if you show up with six or eight of them. And that's, eight of them's $16, you guys. Yeah. It feels, feels pretty legit.
That's a really smart idea. Well, okay, we're going to wrap it up because this is a 30-minute show and we've gone 1 minute over already. But we do have something new to tell you.
Yes. So we want to hear from you about what episodes you've liked, what you want to hear us talk about, any questions that you want us to answer on
air. We're
not
like an advice show exactly because I don't know if you should be taking our advice.
God, no.
But if you have a question that we feel like we can answer, then we will answer it on air.
So if you have anything you want to get at us with, email info@ofakind.com.
Sometimes we just need some inspiration about what to talk about, you know?
Yeah, we want
to
hear from
you. We want you to inspire us because some weeks are, harder than others to come up with things.
Well, you've been listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We are here every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time for a half an hour, and we hope to see you next week.
Yeah. Visit ofakind.com. Did you say
Please,
that?
Please, no, do that.
Do that. That's the show.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.